Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Markenta.
Welcome to this episode of Bridge the Gap podcast. I'm here with my co-host Joshua Crisp of Salinity, and I am Lucas McCurdy, the senior living fan. We have a great episode today on lock. Really excited, pun really actually there, with Melissa Locke. She's going to be locking it down with us today, asking some questions about the labor challenges that the senior living industry faces. This is a hot topic. If you go to any conference anywhere in the United States, no matter if it's nonprofit or for-profit, or if it's about finance or just in general, you're going to hear this topic come up.
Yeah, so super, super excited to have Melissa. I've known Melissa for several years. I'm not even sure, Melissa, how long ago it was that we met, but I know that I've heard her speak at multiple panels at our industry conferences, and also a little bit excited because she's from my stomping grounds in
Tennessee again.
Yes, Tennessee, Orange Country for most Tennesseans, and Melissa is the vice president of human resources for a company called Morning Point and Independent Healthcare Properties. And so she has been so gracious to me through the years as an operator to make herself available. I'm constantly, you know, facing human resource, labor-related challenges, whether it's compliance or whether it's just recruiting challenges or what her company is doing with trends and how they're tackling problems with creative solutions. So super, super happy. Thank you for being with us today, Melissa. I want to my first question is, could you just tell us a little bit about your experience in the industry and what you've kind of been doing, what you're doing now?
Well, thank you, Josh, for having me. It truly is a pleasure. This is actually my 22nd year in HR, and I've spent approximately the last 10 years in senior living industry. And as you know, with the recent economy change, the recruiting world has certainly changed for employers. And so we are doing some creative things that I'm happy to share with you that hopefully will help other employers.
That's so awesome. So you touched on the recruiting industry and that kind of landscape changing. Tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, our listening audience, it's very diverse. We have not only residents and their families, which are more the consumers. We've got stakeholders across the spectrum of our industry. Mm-hmm. So kind of paint that picture for me and Lucas a little bit. What has contributed to that, and what does that look like? What has that evolved to and from over the past several years?
Well, we know that as the senior living industry has continued to grow, that by the year 2025, 1.2 million employees will be needed in the industry. And so to be creative and competitive in the recruiting market, you know, everything from online profiles to mobile-friendly application, there's certainly no doubt that recruiting has completely evolved immensely over the past years. I saw a recent survey that showed that 46% of employers are having difficulty finding jobs, and that's probably the highest number since about 2007. One thing that I have noticed as an employer is that there is a rise on the use of social media, and approximately 67% of job seekers are now using Facebook to find jobs. And as you know, that's just something we didn't have years ago.
That's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
The tables have kind of turned. You know, now the employer does not have complete power over the job search. Instead of the applicant selling themselves to the employer, now the employer is actually selling themselves to the applicant. And so as we focus on drawing in new top talent, you have to be different from your competition. And today's candidates, they know what they want from employers, and they don't care to ask for it. So this is a powerful dynamic opportunity. And it starts at the earliest application stage. So as an employer, you want to make sure that your job seeker knows what your company has to offer them, not only in terms of salary and benefits, but also as a company culture. And I would say you should do that before they get close to the interview stage. This type of openness will only bring you more candidates and will also bring you closer to finding the right person for any vacancy and for your company. We have seen that employee engagement definitely comes in many different forms. And the key to one of them is finding people that find satisfaction in helping others. And that's really important when it comes to senior living. And so you have a lot of screening potential when it comes to looking for employees. Now we look more as what does an employee have to offer as far as their value system and also their job suitability. And you can do that by a pre-employment assessment. And for Morning Point, we use a tool called Hartman Value Profile and also a job interest survey tool that gives us more insight about a potential employee's value system and if they are suitable for the industry or not.
So, Lucas, you probably have some questions as well, but I wanted to stop you right there just for a minute because it seems like a lot of what you're talking about is kind of centering around this idea of culture, right? Not only from the employer and them creating culture, but sharing that culture through a means, it sounds like very popular means, growing means of maybe social media, internet marketing, and things like that. But Lucas, what do you think about that?
Well, my question, the first thing that bubbles up in my mind, and so I work in a construction company. So Melissa, this resonates with me heavily because we have a unbelievably challenging labor market. And with our you know, construction just going bonkers right now across the United States, if not globally. So I'm taking notes as you're talking because I think a lot of this stuff parlays into a lot of different market sectors, particularly ones that have a challenging way, of recruiting. So how does a company, a senior living company operator that's trying to recruit, what would be some tangible steps that they would do as they are approaching social media in trying to tell the story of their culture out to potential candidates?
I would say that companies have to be more transparent and just honest on what their culture looks like. And so you really have to paint a clear picture. And you can't do that just by social media alone.
Sure.
Social media may draw your applicant in, but then as an employer, we have to get them into our facilities to demonstrate what our culture looks like and what sets us apart from the competition.
That's awesome. So, one thing, I don't want to change the subject too much, but when you were talking about the dynamics and the needs of what the industry will need as far as labor, how do you think the aging population plays into this? Because obviously we've got an aging population. So not only are the needs growing, but our workforce demographic is changing. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And, you know, with unemployment rates being at an all-time low, for example, in my area, currently unemployment is at 4%. And for nurses, especially, it's 2%. And so that tells me that every nurse that wants to be employed is employed. And we know that seniors are living longer and their expectations when it comes to technology and resources is definitely changed over time. And so while it is a challenge to recruit staff in certain markets, I think the real key is to find someone who has a passion when it comes to serving others in the senior population.
interesting. That resonates with both of us on, you know, bridging the gap here. I mean, you're kind of speaking about our mission here and developing passion. You talked about a test earlier that I'm not personally familiar with, but is it something similar to like a DISC profile or a Myers-Briggs profile? And is that something that you use to identify candidates that are actually a fit for developing a passion in senior housing?
Absolutely. There are a lot of similarities. Typically, I use a DISC profile for higher level positions, especially in management or senior roles. And then the Hartman value profile is very similar to Myers-Briggs. And I typically use an assessment like that for line staff or entry level positions to show how their value system will line up with the value system of the company.
Gotcha.
Well, so Melissa, it sounds like, you know, more thought and much more research is being done intentionally on the front end of the hiring process. And tell me a little bit, obviously, you know, hiring the right employees is great, but we've got to keep them. You know, it's tough because our industry is known as a very high turnover industry. So how can we as operators, as employers in the space, how can we do a better job at what I would say hiring for retention?
Well, I think it actually starts out, Josh, just with recruitment. And we know that recruitment practices have a very strong influence on controlling turnover. And presenting applicants with a realistic job preview during that recruitment process has a positive effect on retention for new hires. Also, you know, turnover is often higher among new employees. A couple years ago, we were seeing trends that the largest amount of turnover would occur in the first 90 days of employment, and now that trend is even less. So the majority of turnover now is actually occurring during the first 30 days of employment. And so it is critical that we deliver an outstanding onboarding and orientation program, because that will help new hires become engaged into that company culture that we've been talking about, which will make them more likely to stay. Also, new hires are looking for training and development up front. And so as an employer, it is extremely important to give opportunities that will continually update a new hire's skills, which would make them more inclined to stay with the company. Also, compensation and rewards are always important. Pay levels and satisfaction are only modest predictors of an employee's decision when it comes to leaving a company. However, you know, there are some possibilities and strategies as an employer that you can take. And I would say the first one is to lead the market with respect to compensation and rewards. And so as an employer, it's really important to do your homework, know what your competition is offering and what your competition is paying so that you can stay competitive. Also, if you can tailor rewards to individual needs when it comes to a base pay structure, that can certainly improve retention.
So,
one thing that we have done different in the past 2 years is link rewards to retention. And so, for example, you can have vacation hours to seniority, or offer retention bonuses, or, you know, link defined benefit plans 2 years of service, which would make an employee want to stay with your organization longer. And then, as always, supervision is very, very important. We know that employees leave people, not good jobs. And so fair treatment by supervisors is an important detriment when it comes to retention. So make sure that supervisors and managers are developed with the tools that they need to be effective communicators and to increase their skill set. And then, as we talked about before, employee engagement, you'll hear me say that so often, because engaged employees are satisfied with their jobs. They enjoy their role, their workplace, and the organization. If an employee is engaged, then they feel that their job is important and they take pride in the company, and they believe that the employer values their contributions as an employee.
So tell me, Melissa, you know, this kind of information, you and I work in areas where we're in some primary markets, some secondary markets, some tertiary markets. So we see the more urban, we see the more rural markets. What are you seeing? Are there differences in these challenges, or when we look at a more urban setting when we're recruiting versus a more rural setting?
Well, I feel that shortage of healthcare workers in rural and remote areas remains a growing concern. Urban areas tend to offer a higher salary compared to the rural ones, and that's mainly just because of the cost of living is much higher in cities. And I've taken a couple HR surveys, and I think that the most important thing, whether you are in a rural market or an urban area, that you must stay competitive with wages and benefits to be competitive in both markets.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit, what are some of the unique challenges? Because in our industry, from my limited, you know, experience, there's a big difference in workforce that we have. You know, most communities, when we look at your traditional kind of senior living community, you're basically running a restaurant. You know, you have dining services, you have caregivers, you have housekeepers and maintenance and marketing, but you've got a couple of different, you know, demographics there. You have the majority of your workforce is on an hourly pay scale, but then you have some very college-educated, manager-level. What are the unique challenges that are between recruitment of those two groups right now that you're seeing?
I feel that the most difficult positions to currently fill are going to be that of clinical nature. And so that's going to be your CNAs, your resident assistant caregivers, and nurses. And mainly just because there is more demand than supply. And so just a few tips to offer would be that I would encourage employers to offer an employee referral program. And so to do this, what you will do is not only market that program to your staff, but go directly to your top employees and individually ask them to increase their referrals. You know, ask them for a list of top five who have impressed them the most during their career. Also, reach out to customers, anyone that has been a strategic partner or vendor, to be a referral source. You know, you always want to be in guidelines of your conflict of interest policy, but definitely keep your mind open to something that's outside the box. I think that social events are on the rise, so career fairs have been an excellent source. As an employer, I would say attend college functions, medical certification programs. You want to look for top talent. So you've got to build that relationship with whoever is getting CNA certified so that you can be there to see who is the top line person that you want to recruit. Because, again, we are having to leave our offices and go out to get these frontline staff instead of them necessarily coming to us. I think it's also a great idea to contact former employees or possibly former people that maybe you had interviewed. Call all of the good nurses and CNAs who may have left your facility over the past few years and just ask them if they would like to return. If for some reason they turn you down, they can always be an excellent referral source for you as an employer.
That's super practical. Like, I mean, is these things, it's like in the age of technology and social media, those are excellent tools in the recruiting factor. But I mean, she's just talking like good old fashioned relationship building and working your sphere of influence. And so on that same kind of note, Melissa, what do you think are some other creative things that your company is doing to increase employee loyalty and to help just kind of slow down that the back door?
Well, before healthcare, I had a background in manufacturing. And something that we did in the manufacturing world was we had pay scales. And so an employee could go from a level one to a level two to possibly a lead position. And so I took that concept and said, why can't we apply this to senior living? Because is it truly, are you going to be successful if you recruit a 20-year nurse in at the same rate as one directly out of college? And the answer is no. And so you have got to offer something that is outside the box. And as we know, some nurses are very reluctant to leave because they will have to start at the bottom if they join a new facility. So there again, if you offer your top candidates choices and offer them possibly even a side-by-side offer sheet, again, you have to know what your competition is doing. Show them the perks that you can offer versus someone else. And then also, I think it's a great idea to constantly build your brand. So if you have a speaking opportunity, discuss your best practice. That's an excellent recruiting tool. Also, there are a lot of online resources. Talking about technology, you can now do an internet search for CNAs, nurses. You can have hundreds of resumes at the click by zip code. So specifically target those areas of who live within a short commuting distance of your facility. Also, you can do an email blast. So if you know who your prospects are, then develop an email mail list that pushes announcements, especially job openings, to individuals that you are targeting. And as we spoke earlier, online networking sites, if you haven't taken advantage of YouTube, I think that's a great way to show someone online what your company culture looks like. And so that's one thing that we've done at Morning Point is create these short recruiting videos and just place them out there for not only new employees to see, but also those that you are trying to pull into your labor market.
I love that idea. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we're hitting on here that a lot of them point back to the culture of the company. And I mean, video is a powerful tool to do that. It's almost like just kind of like advancing the narrative of culture even before you have the opportunity to meet them. Of course, we're doing a podcast today. You know, voice has the ability to have, you know, it's its own medium, but all of these social sites now are adding in these ways to do these videos. Of course, YouTube's been around for a little while now, but you know, Melissa, a lot of this, like as I'm sitting here thinking about this, it's fascinating to me how much crossover there is. I mean, this is practical, tactical stuff that actually really works. And there's a part of me as I'm analyzing my own company, I'm thinking we're doing like 2% of this, 1% of this, and we should be doing more. So why don't you talk to some of our listeners that may be feeling the same way and just thinking like, there's an aspect of this that it's a simple formula. Just follow this, do this, and you'll win. But why do you think so many companies have a challenge in actually executing this?
I think it's a challenge because we try to make it more complicated than it is. And as an employer, it's important to remind yourself that not every person is going to be a good fit for your organization. And so we do have to weed out candidates who don't exhibit the traits that we are looking for. So even though we are in a tight labor market, still be selective. One thing that I've done that has really been great is to ask line staff employees to help interview candidates.
Interesting.
And so I think that it shows that in a candidate, first of all, that we believe in our staff. And who else is better than your star employee to best judge a job candidate's character? And so I like to involve those standout team members to help participate in interviews and weigh in on the decision. And I think that that also helps that current employee feel like I'm cared about. My opinion matters. And that's just going to increase not only satisfaction, but also employment engagement.
So I love that, Melissa. I love that the part of bringing in the team so it feels like a team approach. I can also say, you know, when you're talking maybe risk mitigation and so forth, when you have multiple voices asking questions, you know, the compliance hat, you know, I put that on and that kind of scares me to death. So what have you done to kind of prepare those employees? Do you have forms and questionnaires and training for that process for them to make that easy and to kind of keep it on task?
You know, from a compliance standpoint, typically what I do is that if you do a team type interview process, then it puts your current employee more at ease. And we typically do have a list of questions that are compliant and legal that we go through. But one of the things that I have found is I love for that current employee to give the potential employee a tour of the facility because they are more apt to ask questions, give feedback with someone who is their peer versus someone that they know is the hiring manager. And so I think that that is a great tool because we know that real feedback is crucial to building a happy work environment.
Well, so, you know, I think like a lot of times we get stuck talking about all these challenges that face our industry that we see coming in our shoulders, whether we're working in your position or we're an administrator or we're a company owner, you know, we start to feel our shoulders almost kind of drop a little bit from the weight and the pressure, and we get a little stressed. But I also believe there's so many positive things going on in our industry, and there's with all these challenges, there's some great opportunities. I'm wondering if you're seeing some of those same things, and what would you see that's positive that's going on right now or a great opportunity that we have to capitalize on?
Well, I think the most positive thing is we are in a creative, growing industry. And so, you know, it's a lot easier to talk to an employee about developing a career path than it is to talk to an employee about a layoff because we don't have enough work in our industry. So in senior living, we are blessed not to have that because we are in such a demanding market. So I would say celebrate employee milestones. Because as an employer, that will bring you a lot of satisfaction. And also, if you could just change up responsibilities, I think it helps not only with tasks, but helps offer stress relief when we are in a top labor market.
Incredible information, Melissa. We are so grateful for you giving us your time today to just add tremendous value back to our audience here on Bridge the Gap podcast. Thank you so much for being here.